She's the executive director of Kids Sports, also calling Oregon Women's Hoops with Terry Johns, and of course instrumental in the magnificent new facility, Civic Park. On Instagram, check her out at Kids Sports for Life with a numerical 4. Bev Smith joins us. Bev, I feel like we haven't chatted in a while. How are you and yours doing during, well, you know, the madness that is our everyday life?
It is a challenge, Steve. Yes, Happy New Year, and hopeful for a healthy and happy 2021. It's been a little bit rough already in 2021, but we try to see what we have versus what we don't have, and still have a lot to be grateful for, particularly with our new field house at Civic Park and just our community that has been really gracious in supporting us through this challenging COVID lifestyle.
Yeah, for those who thought midnight on December 31st, everything was going to magically get swept away, no. Kids Sports, you mentioned it's 2021, but as they say, the best laid plans. I saw your website a couple days ago, kidsports.org, posted important updates. So, Bev, what do family need to know about the latest from the state of Oregon, Oregon Health Authority, and I guess its impact on volleyball, basketball clinics, and is there a timeline they should know about, or we all in kind of a wait-and-see mode?
Right, a little bit of all of that, Steve. Great description. And right now, since November 18th, when Governor Brown put a freeze pretty much on indoor activities and we waited for the new risk levels, we did start a basketball skills clinic session from first grade all the way up to high school that we've had to, sort of put to rest and put in hibernation along with our volleyball season. We had started a pretty cool volleyball season, and it ran a couple of weeks, and our registrants were really patient with us as we tried to push it out. We thought we could maybe play a weekend before Christmas, and then being at the extreme risk level in Lane County, we thought maybe the 14th, but we had a new evaluation on Tuesday, and we're still in high extreme. So we've had to, we're not able to complete neither the basketball nor the volleyball season. So we've had to, just because it runs into some spring stuff. So unfortunately, we've had to ask our community just to, try and do something different as we get new activities to replace that volleyball and basketball season. We still will run them when we're able to, because right. I think it's a traditional season that kids need to have, even though it's going to be in a non-traditional season, maybe in May or June. But volleyball and basketball are cool sports, and we will get them back up and running. But in the meantime, we got to keep our kids active. And so we've gone outside and we've said, hey, let's toughen up, little buttercups. Let's go outside. And if you go on the website, you can see that we have some January flag football on Saturdays and during the week for our middle school kids in the morning when they're not in synchronous school and class. And then we have some kindergarten through fourth grade soccer preseason Sundays, getting ready for the upcoming soccer and lacrosse season. We have these clinics that kind of get kids, fit and working on some skills and some individual stuff. We have our PE Fusion for kinder through fifth graders that's been running both indoors and out. We have now moved it entirely outdoors, and that runs Monday through Thursday from 1 to 3 for children. So a lot of information. Our hope is that we will have a spring soccer season and lacrosse season, and that will probably happen during the traditional time where we run it, and that's near the middle, starting the middle of March and running through April and May. So all of that information is very clear and graphic. If you go to kidsports.org and then just follow the camps and clinics, you will see a lot of stuff for your kids to be able to do.
By the way, for our under 12 demographic who's listening, buttercups is a term of endearment.
Yes, it is. It certainly is. It is something that they have actually, we've been running them now since December, Steve, and the kids are fearless and they're resilient. And, we had about 20 middle school kids playing Tuesday morning in the pouring down cat and dog rain.
Wow.
And they played hard and they played together and they played smart for 2 hours. They had a blast. So really it's just me that is not as much of a well, not a buttercup for sure, and has not been toughened up with age. But, you know, give it a shot. The kids are really having a good time. And we all did it. We all played outside at one point in our lives, and I think it's just an opportunity for them not only to get the physical activity but to make social-emotional connections. We have COVID protocols. We wear masks. We sanitize. We keep our social distance. So it is something that we can at least do to keep kids, you know, playing and having fun and learning some valuable life lessons out on the field.
So with I guess with hope in our hearts, with vaccinations and masks and hand washing, that the future, we're going to take a step towards normalcy. And I see on the site there's a variety of registrations coming up, maybe in the next 5 days, 7 days, 10 days. So what sports and age groups are we talking about?
Well, we're talking about mostly we do a division of first and fourth grade with our flag football, and they will be Saturdays starting next week. And really what we're doing, we're only registering right now for 2 weeks of these clinics and sessions, because in 2 weeks we could be back into maybe a high or a moderate level that allows us then to do something different, allows us to move inside, allows us to have that, you know, more people out on the field. And so there's flag football for first through fourth. There's flag football fifth through eighth. There's soccer, the same, kindergarten through fourth grade, sixth through eighth grade soccer. There's morning flag football. We also have a pretty cool, what we call a masked session, which is movement, agility, speed, and training. And it's for middle school kids who might have been inactive that want to kind of get fit slowly, progressively, doing some fundamental movement and motor skills, you know, stopping, starting, deceleration, acceleration, change of speed, change of direction, agility, balance, coordination, all those things maybe that they haven't been doing. And we're going to run them through some progressive training that will get them ready for, you know, the soccer season or the lacrosse season or whatever season, you know, they hope to be participating in as, you know, as the COVID fog clears.
Talking with Kids Sports Exec Director Bev Smith, who obviously calls Duck Women's Hoops alongside Terry Johns. The program, who lost three of the greatest players ever, top eight picks in the WNBA, in Heber, Ionescu, Sabali, not to mention Mignon Moore. So, Bev, you know, I get the brilliance of the five freshmen plus the new faces, but knowing what we know now, how realistic to think that there was not going to be some serious growing pains with such a young team in a killer conference like this?
Well, you know, we weren't real realistic, I think. I think they're seeing that. And I hope that, you know, people who watch the game and the fans, you know, stay on board. This is going to be a great team. And I know Coach Graves, after the game yesterday, didn't feel like that. He looked pretty spent and he looked pretty disappointed. But, you know, not blaming, you know, his young team at all, but also taking accountability with the coaching staff. And it's going to take some time. It just is. Overnight success takes about 10 years. And you only have 4 years in college basketball. And if you remember, you know, Terry brings this up, Sabrina and Satu's and Ruthie's first year, they were 8-12 in the Pac-12 conference. And they struggled with some of these very issues that this young team is facing. So, you know, and they haven't had the preparation that they usually get. They have not had that luxury. Now, not other teams haven't either, but other teams are older. And I think, last year when Oregon really ruled over Stanford, I remember talking with Tara after the game. She said, you know, they probably should dominate us given their veteran leadership, their 4-year seniors. And so now Stanford is sort of, you know, dominating. I wouldn't say they dominated Oregon for sure, but right, they're leading the pack now because they've got an older, more veteran team. So it's cyclical. And I know Coach Graves and his staff are an incredible coaching staff, but you cannot accelerate maturation. You know, time is the incubator of success. And, they'll get these kids, they'll get their pencils sharpened. And I think I watched the game obviously on Sunday, and they tried to play too hard. They tried to play too fast. They didn't play at their speed, and Arizona got them into the game that they wanted to, and it just really unraveled for them quickly. And that's hard to bring back when you've got a young team that knows that they have high expectations on them.
You know, obviously we're in the Oregon bubble, but that Arizona team, Adia Barnes, who was a terrific player at her alma mater, played in the NBA overseas. She was an assistant at Washington. I mean, it was not that long ago. They won six games. I mean, they would have ended a 15-year NCAA drought last year. I mean, Bev, how remarkable of a turnaround has she engineered with that program?
Yeah, fantastic. And it's been so good for the Pac-12 to have another, you know, top 10, top 12 team in the mix. And, you know, she's really done it. You know, she paid her dues. You know, she was assistant coach and really got a lot of, I think, really good coaching prowess from when she was with Mike Neighbors. You know, she coached Kelsey Plum. She coached Okafor. She coached these incredible athletes that I think, you know, gave her a really good understanding of how she wanted to play the game and who she wanted to play the game with. And I think she had her identity. She knew what her team's identity was going to be when she went to Arizona, and therefore was able to recruit those kind of players with the character that she wanted. And so, you know, hats off to her and her coaching staff. She's filled McHale Center again, and it's rocking and rolling. Unfortunately, not right now, but just a really good story, I think. And, you know, we always, I really like to pull for, you know, our female coaches, and yep, she's really done a great job in cementing her legacy now as a coach at Arizona, and she certainly did that as a player.
No, she's I'm a fan. A couple final thoughts for Bev Smith. I just wanted to hit on a couple of these true freshmen. Start with Angela Dugalich, though 6'4", not really a post, seems to have not only a diverse skill set, but kind of wisdom or poise maybe beyond her years. I know it's a whole 12 games in, but Bev, what stands out to you about her game?
No, definitely. She has composure. She has some poise. She really does look like a student of the game. She reminds me a little bit of Catherine Crayfield. I don't know if you remember her, Steve,
yeah,
that played for Jody Rungy and then played for us. And in her freshman year, I wasn't here, but, you know, she and Angela reminds me, you know, at moments she looks kind of like a St. Bernard puppy out there, you know, flopping around. And then in moments she brings that all together and really can deliver. And I think she's just going to develop and become a force like Catherine was. And, you know, people are comparing her a little bit to Breonna Stewart. And while I'm sure she's flattered with that, I think she'll, you know, she'll write her own story. And I really look forward to watching her develop.
No pressure there. The best player in the world, pretty much. But
yeah.
And lastly, Tahina Pau-Pau. You know, you think from Maite Cazorla, Minyan Moore, Sabrina. I mean, they're not only good players, but leaders who just run that offense to perfection. So not only, Bev, is she a freshman, but she's got to get a bunch of other young players on the same page. And, you know, she struggled in the Arizona game, but overall, how do you think she's adjusting to the college game, thrust into a pretty big role?
Yeah, she certainly is. I think she's the key, and I think she's going to be a great, great point guard and leader. You know, she's just trying to figure it out. She has a lot of responsibility. You know, she's got to sort of produce for her minutes, and she's a good scorer. I think she runs the pick and roll as well as anyone on the team right now. She's a little bit, you know, probably going too fast. I know in her high school they played a little bit higher of a tempo, and she can't do that right now. She's got to play with her post players. She's got to give them time to set that screen. She reads the screens really well, particularly the ball screens, and makes great decisions. You know, she just needs to get a little bit stronger. You know, she needs to have that aggressive physical play that she can take on an Ari McDonald and you know, other really strong guards. And I think that will come. It's just a matter of time. But I really think she's key for this year. And as she grows, the team will grow. You know, yesterday their spacing was so out of whack. I agree with Kelly. His description that he just hadn't seen a team of his play like that. They really rolled up the floor and didn't give any spacing. And, you know, that is on the point guard at times, just to slow that down and play at the pace that your team, maybe not you, but your team plays best at. But she has got passion. She's got a fire about her. I love her exuberance. And, you know, I think she's going to write her own chapter of point guard, you know, legacies in this Oregon program.
Folks, she's Bev Smith of Kid Sports on the web. It is kidsports.org. Check out Instagram at Kid Sports for Life with a numerical 4. Bev, it had been a while since we chatted. Glad things are going well for you. Here's fingers crossed that we take a step towards normalcy. And obviously, as things pop up and surface, I look forward to chatting with you not too distant down the road.
Thank you, Steve. It's always a pleasure. And go Ducks and go Kids.
All right. Have a good one.